I'm blessed to be able to share the Word of God again with you this morning as we continue on with our series on the Acts of the Spirit. Are you excited by what you see happening these days? I'm excited. Every time I come to church these days, there's something in the air. God is stirring in us. The Holy Spirit's moving. I see a softness in people's hearts. I feel like God is softening my own heart. And I see God softening your hearts as well. And I just see a desire for more of God. I believe God is restoring vision to us. It's been a tough couple years, but God is doing something in us that's fresh. And I think he's calling us back to the reason why we were created, which was just simply to know God and to make him known. And the purpose of this series that we've been doing on the Acts of the Spirit is to inspire more hunger in us for the Holy Spirit and to desire his moving in our lives. He wants to move in us. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, he produces something in us. He empowers us in how we think and how we live. He equips us for the task that Jesus gave us. In this series, we've been looking at what some of these acts of the Spirit are and what the Spirit produces in us because we want to be a church that is actively pursuing the Holy Spirit. You see, without the Holy Spirit, we're just religious. We have a form of godliness, but without the power. I can tell you that I spend a lot of my teenage years like this. As you know, I grew up as a pastor's kid, and I was taught the good book from a young age. I knew all the Bible stories. I went to Christian school. I attended church every Sunday. I went to the youth group. I would say that in comparison to my friends outside of the church in the neighborhood that I grew up in, I lived a pretty squeaky clean life with some pretty strict morals. But the older I got, the less squeaky my life was becoming, squeaky clean. And I tell you that by the time I was 19 years of age, my desire to even go to church was evaporating quickly. I was still living a religious life. My friends would have thought I was religious. But I tell you, I was not living in the power, and I was not living in the joy of the Holy Spirit. Christianity without the dynamic of the Holy Spirit is weak, it's boring, it's lifeless. And I was quickly reaching a point where I was either going to experience the power of the Holy Spirit or ultimately I was going to go in a different direction in my life. And sometimes people are surprised when I tell them, because they know that I'm a pastor, and when I tell them that I'm not really into religion, it surprises them. But to me, religion is trying to follow a bunch of rules to appease God or please God without any power to do so. It's void of relationship. It's characterized by guilt. It's pretty empty. At least that was my experience. But as most of you know, when I was about 20 years of age, I had a pretty powerful encounter with the living God and with the Holy Spirit. And when he poured out his Holy Spirit upon me, everything changed in that moment. Suddenly, that which was dead on the inside of me became alive. Suddenly, I was swept up in a living relationship with the God of the universe. Suddenly, I became aware of his presence in ways I had never been before. And I began to hear his voice, and I began to sense his leading, and I began to experience real power to break real chains of sin in my life. And my whole purpose for living came into clarity. I became what I would call mission-minded, and I've lived with a sense of mission ever since. And this is the act of the Spirit that I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about being mission-minded. How does the Holy Spirit make us mission-minded? The first thing that he does is he reveals our purpose. In Luke chapter 5, we're told the story of a time when Jesus called one of his disciples, Peter, to follow him. And when he called Peter, he began to speak to him about his purpose, although Peter didn't understand it. We find the story in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch anything. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again." And this time, the nets were so full of fish that they literally began to tear, the scripture says. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. That's a lot of fish. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm a sinful man." The reality of this miracle was so profound. He was like, "I'm on holy ground. I can't be here." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. But Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Now, when you read the Gospels, it seems as though this was actually the second time that Jesus called Peter to follow him. The circumstances around this call, however, are a little bit more dramatic, to say the least. Peter has just had the greatest day of fishing in his fisherman's life. It's the most successful moment he's ever had on the job, but despite that, he has no desire to keep fishing. Jesus is revealing his purpose to Peter. He's foreshadowing what is to come. He's hinting at something greater that Peter can't even fully understand in this moment. Yet the miracle is dramatic enough that it convinces him, "I don't want to have anything to do with fishing anymore. I'm following Jesus." As Peter and the rest of his disciples followed Jesus, they had ideas of what they thought was happening. We can understand from reading through the Gospels that it seems that they imagined Jesus was going to militarily somehow in power overthrow the Romans and perhaps make them his top officials in the new government he was going to establish. They had some wild ideas. But after the cross and after the resurrection of Jesus and after the command of Jesus to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, the realization of what Jesus had been calling them to was beginning to take shape. And I would say that it was the filling with the Holy Spirit on that dramatic day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 that brought them to the final realization of what it was all about. Jesus wasn't calling them to a military campaign. He was anointing them with power to continue the same mission that he had come for. Jesus had come to provide salvation for all of mankind. He had come to preach the good news of this salvation to the world. He was calling people out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. Jesus was setting captives free. He was giving hope to the hopeless. He was restoring relationship with himself for all of eternity. If you said to Jesus, "Did you have a mission statement for your ministry?" He did. It was found in Luke 19:10. He said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost." That was his mission statement. That was what he was all about. And we know that without Christ, we are lost for all of eternity. But Jesus came to seek and to save us. He came to find us. He came to rescue us. He came to deliver us. But once you've discovered this great salvation, He not only saves you, but you realize He's called you to call others. The good news you've discovered is not just for yourself, it's for everyone. And so the mission of God then becomes our mission. And this is what Jesus meant when he told Peter, you're going to fish for people. At the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, he had gone into the temple, opened the scroll, turned to the book of Isaiah, and read the famous words of Isaiah from Isaiah 61, as all eyes were upon him, Jesus read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind are going to see, that the oppressed will be set free, that it's time for the Lord's favor to come upon them." And he rolls up the scroll. He hands it to the attendant. And as everybody's looking at them, he begins to speak to them and say, "This scripture that I've just read is being fulfilled on this very day because I'm here." He had come to set the captives free, to open blind eyes. This was both physical and spiritual. To set the oppressed free. In other words, to break us free from the chains of sin. To break us free from the control of the devil in our lives. To release his blessing upon us. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit for this purpose. And because we have the same purpose, we need the same anointing. And that is why Jesus had told the disciples, "Don't leave Jerusalem until you are filled with the same Holy Spirit." Because you need the same anointing for the same mission that I've come. They didn't understand what it meant fully. But as they sought the Lord in prayer, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon them. On the day of Pentecost, as they're all meeting together in one place, suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. That's so important, that phrase. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. The fact that it tells us that every believer had a flame on his head was significant. My hero, Reinhard Bonnke, always said, "There's a flame for every head." Hallelujah. It was the revelation that every believer has been called and anointed and appointed for the same mission as Jesus. To set captives free. We've been anointed to proclaim to the captives, there's freedom for you. We've been anointed to tell the blind, it's time to see. We've been anointed to go to those who are in darkness and bring the light of Jesus Christ. We've been anointed to go to the oppressed and say, your chains are gone. We've been anointed for the same purpose and the same mission. I tell you, at that moment, the penny drops for Peter and his disciples. As the crowd assembles in bewilderment at what is happening, Peter, under the same anointing that Jesus had walked in, begins to preach the good news with such power that people's hearts are pierced. They're cut right on the inside. And they say, "Peter, what do we need to do?" And he says, "Repent and be baptized." And 3,000 people come into the kingdom of God. And the church is birthed. It was just like the day when his boat was overflowing with fish. There were so many people coming into the kingdom of God. All hands on deck were required. And as the Holy Spirit filled these believers, the love of God in them for others was so great that they loved those who persecuted them. They forgave those who killed them. And Stephen, the first martyr in church history, was so full of the Holy Spirit that his face literally shone as they were killing him. It says in Acts 4, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven. I mean, he has this revelation as the rocks are bouncing off of his head. He sees the glory of God. He sees Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he tells him, look, I see the heavens opened. And the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Then they put their hands over their ears and they began shouting and they rushed at him. And they dragged him out of the city and they began to stone him. And his accusers took off their coats and they laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they stoned him, Stephen prays, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he fell to his knees shouting. Never noticed that before. He was shouting as he was on his knees, as the rocks are bouncing off of his head. Lord, don't charge them with this sin. That's love. It sounds just like Jesus. Lord, receive my spirit, Jesus said. Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And with that, Stephen dies. He has the same heart as Jesus on the cross, the same love. Church, that's what the Holy Spirit does. When he fills you, he reveals the purpose of your creation to know him and to make him known. And he fills you with his love for others. He burdens you with the state of the souls of men around you. He opens your eyes to the fact that he has anointed you to destroy the works of the devil, that he has empowered you for a purpose. That ain't no empty religion. There is a living God who fills you with the fullness of himself, and then he calls you to join him in his mission. When I encountered the Holy Spirit as a young adult, he opened my eyes to this purpose. Nothing else comes close to the joy I feel of seeing the Lord move through me to preach good news, to set captives free, to give hope to the hopeless. There is nothing boring about it. It's a mission from heaven with Holy Spirit ability to get the job done. This is our call as believers. This is our call as a church. This is our destiny. This is why we need a flame upon our heads. I say this often. If you've come to church to hide out, you haven't understood something. If you've come to just warm a seat, you've missed it. You haven't understood something. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit because you've been called for a purpose. You've been anointed and appointed to preach good news, to set captives free, to partner with the Holy Spirit in the greatest mission of all mankind, to seek and to save those who are lost. If you're not alive with the mission, then your tank is empty and you need a fresh infilling. The second way the Holy Spirit makes us mission-minded is that he opens our eyes to the opportunities that are all around us. You know, one of the things that I've discovered about the Holy Spirit is that not only does he fill me with purpose and open my eyes to what he's called me to, but he also begins to open my eyes to the opportunities that are all around me. It's interesting that in Ephesians 5, Paul is exhorting us to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. Paul sees our calling, our mission as, it's high. And he challenges us, the believers, walk in a manner worthy of the calling. And he exhorts us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't walk in a manner worthy of your calling without it. And he says in verse 8 of Ephesians 5, "For you were once full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them." And he goes on in verse 15, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise." Notice verse 16. "Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine. That'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." We can see from this passage that there is a direct correlation between our ability to walk in the light, to live wisely, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who empowers us to live this way. That's another message. But I want you also to notice that those who are filled with the Holy Spirit live deliberately, they understand the Lord's will, and they make the most of the opportunities that are all around them. When we are living Spirit-filled lives, one of the things I've discovered in my own life is when I'm living full of the Holy Spirit, I'm way more sensitive to what the Lord is doing, what he wants to do, and I become way more available to him to use. I've discovered that it is so easy to get caught up in the worries of this life, to take on the attitudes of society around me. It's easy to get subtly drawn into the worthless deeds of darkness, to live foolishly. In fact, that's my default mode. But the antidote is the Holy Spirit. The antidote is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when we are filled up, we begin to walk in step with him. And we suddenly begin to see opportunities. And we begin to look for opportunities that we otherwise wouldn't even recognize are there. And we begin to see that God is always at work, that he's always looking for those who he can send. A couple of weeks ago, my family had gone, we had an opportunity to go on a cruise. It was something we had tried to do for 2 years and had some deposits that were expiring, and then when our family all got COVID, it was great because then we didn't need to get the PCR test to come home. So I was like, hey, let's do this. So we dashed out, kind of a last minute thing, and my dad gave us some air miles. He's a good father. Down we went. And on the last day, we had a day in Miami before we caught our plane home the next day, and we didn't rent a car. Cars were expensive, and so we just decided we would use Uber to get around. Now, I've never used Uber ever in my life before. It's not a big thing in Regina, at least not to my knowledge. So I'd never used Uber, and so this is the first time, and so I downloaded the app, Uber app, on my phone, and we gave it a go. It was amazing. I was impressed with Uber. I punch in my location, I punch in where I want to go, And within literally 2 to 3 seconds, a driver has accepted. And he's there on my right where I need him in 3 minutes. Each driver is connected online. You punch into the app sends out the call, the first driver that's in the area responds, and there he is. The closest one available responds. I was thinking to myself this week, sounds like a Christian filled with the Holy Spirit. God is always on the move. He's always seeking. He's always saving those who are lost. He's always hearing the cries of the broken. Let me tell you something this morning. If you are broken, the Lord hears your cries. He is near to the brokenhearted. And when somebody cries, the heart of God is moved with compassion by the needs of man. And so when there is a need, he issues a call to one of his messengers. But only those who are connected and only those who are online will answer the call. How do you get connected? You get filled with the Holy Spirit. You never know what assignment God will call you to. Most people are familiar with the Apostle Paul, probably the most influential believer of all time. God uses him powerfully to plant churches and even to write much of the New Testament. His stories and his writings are legendary. But how did it all come to be? If you know the story of Paul, you know that he used to be called Saul. He was a devout Pharisee. He was the one that we read about that was giving his approval for Stephen. And those that stoned him were laying their robes at the feet of Saul. He was a passionate persecutor of the early church. But he had been earmarked by God from the time that he was born for divine purposes. But there was no Christian alive at the time that would have ever believed it based on the actions of Saul. He was ruthless, and he has received letters from the leaders of the church to go to Damascus to round up more Christians, to throw them in jail and do God knows what with them. And as he's on the road to Damascus, he has an encounter with the living God where he's knocked to the ground. He's left blind. He recognizes it's the Lord who he's been persecuting. He has a conversion experience that is so profound that he now makes himself available to the Lord, says, "What do you want me to do?" And the Lord tells him, "Go into the city and wait for further instructions. I need to find somebody online." At this point, the Lord looks for someone who's online and somebody who's available, somebody that he can send. And there's Ananias in the neighborhood. What do we know about Ananias? Nothing. We just know he was a believer who was online. We just know he was connected. We just know he was full of the Holy Spirit. And he was available. And so when God was looking for somebody to go and release his anointing upon the first great church planter, he just found the first believer available. And it says there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. That's all we know. A regular Joe like you and me. And the Lord spoke to him in a vision saying, "Ananias?" "Yes, Lord," he replied. The Lord said, "Go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He's praying to me right now. He's reaching out to me right now. I'm responding to his prayer, and that's why I'm talking to you. I've shown him a vision of a man named Ananias." That's you. You're going. "Coming in and laying hands on him so that he can see again." I want to tell you, it was more than restoring physical sight. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to believers in Jerusalem. And he's authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. I mean, they knew he was coming. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings as well as to the people of Israel. Wow. And I'm going to show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. That wasn't even in the instructions. But Ananias realized if Saul was going to be God's appointed vessel, he was going to need the Holy Spirit. And this is why he was sent. So I'm going to lay my hands on you that your eyes are going to be open. But the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you right now. It's coming upon you right now. And instantly something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. And he regained his sight. And he got up and was baptized. And the rest is history. And we never hear about Ananias again. Who was he? He was just a believer with a flame on his head. He was just an uber Christian. He was online. And when a prayer reached the ears of God and he looked for an answer, somebody to go, a messenger, he grabbed the first believer online in the area. One day, Peter and John were going to the temple to pray. At least they thought that's why they were going. But they were also full of the Holy Spirit. And because they were full of the Holy Spirit, they were online. And when the Holy Spirit had a different plan and a different agenda, they were ready. It says in Acts 3, verse 1, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth, we learn later in Acts 4 that he had been lame for over 40 years. Over 40 years. He was being carried in. Obviously can't walk. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. But when it says that he saw Peter and John, I think as you read the story, it's kind of like mindlessly. People are just going by, alms for the poor, whatever he would have said. Just whenever somebody had come by, alms. He wasn't really looking at somebody, because the next verse says, Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us, with an exclamation point. Buddy, right here. I think this man, when you read the way it's described here, it's a guy who's totally given up on life. It's just mindless. Alms. Not really even engaged with the people. It's just his daily routine for over 40 years. He'd given up on life. But God saw him. God saw him. And as God was moved with compassion over this man who lived his life as a cripple, he looked for a messenger full of the Holy Spirit. He looked for an uber Christian. And Peter and John were in the area. And the lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money, but Peter said, I don't have silver or gold for you. But I'll give you what I have. You see, church, when you are full of the Holy Spirit, not only are you available, but you are equipped. I'll give you what I have. You have what God needs
for you to give away. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking and leaping and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. So he'd obviously gotten leaping and skipping, and then he went back to Peter and John and wouldn't let go of them. He was so overwhelmed with gratitude. And notice verse 12. And Peter saw his opportunity. And he addressed the crowd. People of Israel, he said, why is it so, what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? And he begins to preach the gospel. At this moment, Peter realizes, oh, this is another one of those fishing for people moments. This is another one of those, the boats overflowing with fish kind of moments that Jesus was talking about. I thought I was going to the temple to pray, but it was fishing time. I thought I was maybe catching one today, but this is a day when God wants to fill my boat. This is a day that God has called me to put in the big nets and harvest a massive harvest. Let me ask you this. Do you think he was happy that he was online that day? I think he was. Church, there is a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world today. There are lots of distractions. There is lots to get tangled in. But don't be foolish. Understand what the Lord's will is. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Live a Holy Spirit-led life. Get online. God is looking for some uber Christians that are mission-minded that he can use to accomplish his purposes. That excites me. I'll sign up for that. I told you last week about the fears that I battle. The Holy Spirit's reminding me. When he fills me, he gives me something to give. It's never about me. Peter and John said, do you think this is about us? It's never about us. We're just vessels full of the Holy Spirit. And when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you can be in the craziest places and you have what you need. If it's preaching to 10,000, he'll give you what you need. If it's loving your neighbor across the street, he'll give you what you need. If it's going to somebody who's persecuting the church, he'll give you what you need. The Holy Spirit equips. And he gifts, and he gives to those who are filled. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Thank you, Jesus. I feel in my spirit this morning that God is calling many of you to lay down your nets and come fish for men. Some of you used to fish for men and you got distracted. You got caught up in stuff.
I got good news for you. Peter didn't get it all right the first time either. He left his nets a couple times. I think about three in the end. After he denied Jesus, he went back to fishing. And he had another boat full of fish experience. Jesus repeated, "Nothing's changed. Plan is still a go, Peter." And Peter never went back to those nets. I feel like this morning God wants to call some of you who've maybe never surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus to come and lay down your nets. And I feel like God is calling some of you who went, "Oh man, I lost sight of the mission," to get back in the game. And I know we've been doing altar calls every week, but the Holy Spirit's been moving every week. I feel like he's here again to anoint and to call and to stir and to fill and to deliver and to heal and to save and to send. And why would we not make room for the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do this morning? And so if you feel in some way like you need to respond, just come and kneel and have the Holy Spirit just touch you, or do some business with God, or get some prayer, I'm going to open the altars right now. Come, be filled again with the Holy Spirit. Come, let the Holy Spirit touch you. Just come. As I close in prayer this morning, Father, we sang this morning, "I will make room for you. Do what you want to do." Lord, we just come and confess that we've been filled with all sorts of things that have left us empty and broken and angry and frustrated and disillusioned. But we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to be baptized with your power from on high. We want to be filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to have something to give. So would you come and fill us again with the Holy Spirit? Would you come and empower us? And would you come and call us? I want to be an Uber Christian, Lord. When there's a lame man that needs to walk, call me. When there's an apostle that needs to be sent, send me. When there's a broken soul who needs to be healed, use me. When there's a sinner crying out for salvation, fill my lips with the words of life. Father God, would you do something in this church where we become so mission-minded? God, would you baptize every believer? Lord, would you raise up an army of people with flames on their heads? When you need to send somebody to the nations, you look here. When you need to send somebody into the core of the city, you look here. Because we're here and available. Awaken us, O God, to your purposes, your plans, your destiny. God, help us to wake up every morning and say, I'm online. Holy Spirit, what do you want to do to me today? I thought I was just going to do my job at accounting. But the Holy Spirit was sending me to the person in the next cubicle. I never realized that before, but today I heard. I thought I was just going to shovel my neighbor, to shovel my driveway. And suddenly I saw my neighbor and realized, oh, I hadn't heard that before. Oh God, would you open our eyes that you are always on the move. You are always seeking and saving. God, may we carry the same compassion and love that Stephen and the rest of those apostles did, believers did.